Welcome to the Philharmonia Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:01 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 9th, and this has been a relatively mixed day on stock markets. The Chinese market opened up today following the week-long Spring Festival holiday and was down marginally. Elsewhere in Asia, the Hang Seng was down 1.3%. The Taiwanese market was also weaker. The Singapore market is coming back down towards the lower side of this couple of month range. The Indonesian market was also weaker in here today. The Indian market, which has been a downside leader in terms of its weakness, was also hitting new reaction lows in here today. The Thai market, where you have this skirmish between on the Cambodian border, and the continued political uncertainty isn't helping that market, and it has been ranging below this below its little top formation for the last month, and it has the characteristics of a first step below the top in that short-term trend. Over the medium term, however, it remains a relatively sound bullish case. But what we continue to see in Asia is that this is a corrective phase, and a large number of these markets have pulled back to towards their 200-day moving averages. Certainly, the Indonesian market is among those, and they will need to to find support in the region of those 200-day moving averages to really maintain the medium-term bullish outlook. But it's for the bulls to prove at this stage, and we really do need upward dynamics to indicate that that demand is returning in that area. In Europe today, it was also relatively weak. The FTSE spent most of the day in close to positive territory and closed down about two-thirds of 1%. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is closing out the day up on the day just marginally, just 6 points to the upside. The S&P and NASDAQ were also pretty steady. Wall Street in particular has had a fantastic last couple of weeks and has been pushing on to new high ground. And it's become reasonably overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. So while it continues to push on to new high ground and hold on to its gains really very impressively, there is the continued risk that because it is that bit overextended, that it's susceptible to a pullback and consolidation. In Latin America, that's exactly what we're seeing. Brazil was weaker today by over 2%. It's been ranging below the 74,000 level for more than a year. And one of the things that we talk about at the chart seminar is that big trading area or trading ranges or congestion areas are unreliable continuation patterns. And the market rallied so impressively up off its lows and got back to retest its highs in such a short period of time that some consolidation in the region of the peak wouldn't have been that surprising. But it spent such a long time in that region and has so far failed to break above the 74,000 area that one does have to start asking questions as to whether this is a type 3 top. And a type 3 top is ranging time and size, and it's got all of those characteristics. And at the moment, the Brazilian market is pushing back down towards the lower side of that relatively long range, and a breakdown from this area would complete a type 3 top and then would also indicate that it could be a I don't want to use the word significant, but certainly it would be a medium-term top, and it could take quite a while before Brazil can reassert its uptrend. That, of course, won't be confirmed until we get a breakdown from this more than year-long range. And of course, the other side of it is if it can sustain a move above the 74,000, it would look substantially different. And of course, that's the problem with these type 3 tops because they are so remarkably volatile. And when one puts it in the context of the longer-term Brazil growth story, it's not so difficult to come up with a bullish perspective. But right now, the chart action is not bullish. and it is certainly for the bulls to prove. And elsewhere in Latin America, the Argentinian market has lost momentum and pulled back a little bit more sharply in here today, and that's another market that had become really quite overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. The Chilean market, which has been a tower of strength for much of the last year, has lost momentum. It's pulled back. This is a much larger reaction than we've seen in the course of the more than 2 year uptrend. It's now in the region of the 200-day moving average. So it's lost a lot of its consistency characteristics, and it really does need to post some quite clear upward dynamics to suggest that demand is coming back into force in the current region. The Colombian market has been ranging for much of the last few months and has also completely unwound its overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. So that one is hasn't pulled back nearly as sharply, but it has completed the same type of work in a longer period of time that the Chilean market has done. So Latin America, which has been a relative performer over the last 18 months, has moved into much more of a corrective phase. And that is, I think, a common factor that it has with some of those ASEAN markets in particular, where we've seen that they were the leaders on the upside. They bottomed first. They have either gone on to test their highs or surmounted their pre-crisis highs, but they've moved into these corrective phases. And when we compare them with the performance, particularly of Wall Street and some of those, particularly the core Eurozone countries, and indeed some of the Scandinavian countries, then there has been a clear change or rotation that has occurred. In the commodity markets, this was another powerful day for the food commodities. And wheat was firmer by 11 cents, corn by 24 cents, soybeans by 16 cents. And there is an extraordinarily high degree of commonality right across the agricultural sector. And this is being driven in no small part by the deterioration in the fundamentals for so many of these commodities, where the estimates for the global crop are continuing to be downgraded. And we're seeing a number of these commodities now pushing back up to test their 2008 peaks. That's in no small part going to contribute to inflationary pressures. And because some of those emerging markets, or people in those emerging markets, spend a proportionately higher proportion of their weekly or monthly income on food, that inflationary pressures are not surprisingly starting to appear in those countries first. But in Europe and the USA, we're not going to be too far behind the curve in that regard. And certainly, we are already seeing that energy prices are also pushing to the upside, and food price inflation, it will be felt in this part of the world as well. The oil prices pulled back rather sharply over the last 5 days, but it was really quite steady in here today. There's also a high degree of commonality right across the energy sector, where you have oil, coal, uranium, a number of the distillates, and indeed some of the biofuels are all pushing on to new high ground over, or new recovery highs at least, in the last couple of weeks. Natural gas is a clear standout because it's completely stepped outside the commonality of the energy sector. The natural gas price has deteriorated really quite sharply in the last couple of days and spent most of today below $4. So when we look at the best investment opportunities in the energy sector, natural gas is probably the really big story. But uranium is quite clearly one of the better investment opportunities, because while the fact that you have unconventional gas supplies beginning to be exploited globally and being led by the USA, and that is flooding the market with abundant, cheap, secure, and relatively clean fuel, that's a really, really big story. It's changing the energy sector globally, But natural gas isn't where the money is likely to be made here. The companies that are exploiting this shale gas aren't performing in the kind of way that one would anticipate from a major bull market, because prices, because obviously they're so successful that there's a glut of supply, and the price of natural gas is really quite depressed, particularly when we compare it to other energy commodities. On the other hand, the uranium market, and particularly some of those uranium shares, are performing in no uncertain terms, and particularly some of those smaller miners are breaking upwards out of relatively lengthy basis. And those are certainly showing the characteristics of medium-term bull markets. So uranium is probably the best investment theme, whereas natural gas is probably the bigger theme in terms of a real energy policy. When one looks at how is one going to benefit from the natural gas revolution, it's from those sectors that benefit from the lower input costs. And there aren't, particularly in a commodity bull market, there are not that many industries that can say they're benefiting from a lower input cost. But the chemical and fertilizer industries can make that boast. We've written a lot about the fertilizer companies, and one of the ones that has benefited most is DuPont. DuPont produces chemicals and fertilizers. It really has been not doing very much for really quite a considerable period of time. When one looks at a 10-year chart, it's been broadly going sideways. And while it's done so fantastically well in the last couple of years, it's right up now to test its prior highs. So while somewhat overextended right now, that whole sector is one of the very few sectors in the world right now that is benefiting from a lower input cost. And given the fact that unconventional natural gas is so remarkably abundant, that's probably a situation that's not going to change very much over the medium term, at least. Elsewhere in the commodities sector, the palladium market was relatively steady in here today. It was down $8. Platinum was down 5. Silver was down 13. But silver is still above the $30 level. Gold is still above 1350. It's down just $1 on the day. And the precious metal markets have certainly bounced back in really quite impressive form over the last couple of weeks. So they continue to look like that they can move higher in this environment. And that's also fitting in with the really quite firm tone right across the commodity sector. US Treasuries broke lower late last week, or sorry, early this week, and they were a little bit firmer in here today, but it continues to look like a medium-term downtrend. It continues to look like the peak for US Treasuries was reached last August, and that the buyer of last resort remains the Treasury. People are continuing to ask the question just how good an investment these things are when the government is the buyer of indeed only resort in some cases. So they could potentially be a short-term momentum trade, but as a long-term investment, particularly when inflationary pressures are starting to rise once more, the paltry yields on offer really are quite unattractive, and particularly when you can get a competitive yield on a dividend aristocrat that is well in excess of what one could get on a 10-year government bond. So that's the other point is that the dollar has strengthened in the last couple of weeks, but it's been weaker over the last couple of days, and that's a bit of a tailwind for some of these commodities as well. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.